Tim Rogers joins us from the Enterprise Group. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning, Greg.
Hey, I'm on your website the other day, and I'm looking at that list of jobs that you guys put together, and that is, I've never seen anything like it.
Well, and that's interesting. We follow that every week. Our partners at Michigan Work Southeast publish that every Monday morning. And that's the jobs that they have listed in Jackson County. So it's not even the exhaustive list of jobs. It's the employers who've registered with them. And that number has gone up week over week, I think, for the past 6 or 7 weeks. So now it's, I think this week it was 1,433 available jobs in Jackson County.
Have you ever seen anything like that?
No, we're in a kind of an unprecedented time when you look at the economy right now. Our unemployment rate is somewhere between 5.7 and 5.9%, but we still have over 1,400 open jobs in the county, which is kind of strange. And you don't even know if that's really a true number, because unemployment rates only count the people that are actively looking for work. So it doesn't count the number of people who are basically just sitting out right now, which we know there's quite a few of those because of the way the unemployment payments are working. So it's a very odd time. I'm sure you, like many of your listeners, have gone into restaurants especially, but even small retailers where they have signs posted that their hours are shortened because they don't have staff. Or you know, they're limited in what they can offer customers because supply chains have been a problem.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really odd time. Nothing like we've ever seen before.
Is it bringing wages up, Tim?
We are seeing wages go up. I had a conversation with a local banker about 2 weeks ago. He and I had driven by the same pizza place in Summit Township, which was advertising for a pizza delivery guy at $20 an hour. So, I didn't see the fine print, and actually I didn't even really believe it was true, so I turned around and went back and looked again, and it said $20 an hour. So, you know, those wages are going up, and I think we're seeing that start to filter through the economy. But you also know that when that goes up, other things are going to go up with it. And pizza is the perfect example. If you're paying $20 an hour for a delivery driver, you know the price of the pizza is going up too. So.
Absolutely, yeah. Just looking at that list of jobs, it's quite a variety. I mean, you don't need a PhD for most of them.
No, and you know, that's the interesting point when you look at that list. And anybody can go on the website and look at it, enterprisegroup.org. But it's doctors, it's nurses, it's retail, it's service economy, it's banking. It's across the board. The labor shortage is impacting all walks of life, all types of businesses.
So what, do you have any prediction of how this is going to wash out?
Well, if my predictions were worth anything, I don't know if I'd be in this job. But I think what we're going to see is as federal unemployment, that extra federal unemployment benefit starts to disappear, which it hasn't yet in Michigan, you're going to see more people back in the workforce as far as, picking up those available jobs. If you look nationally, the states that have eliminated that extra federal unemployment benefit, their job roles have started to go up again. And, you know, that's logical. People need that income to come from somewhere to support their lifestyle. So I think that will change. Michigan has now required people on unemployment to show that they're looking for work. So we haven't eliminated the benefit yet, but I think that's the first step. Undoubtedly wages are gonna go up. But like I said earlier, you also know that's going to see an uptick in, you would think, in inflation. Nationally, economists are saying, well, inflation, it's not real inflation right now, which I don't understand. If you look at the residential building industry, the price of lumber was up about 300%. It's come back down a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, that's real inflation. When a piece of OSB used to cost $8 and now it costs $24, that's inflation, and I don't know how you can say it's not real.
But, well, it's like gas. I mean, lumber affects everything.
Yep, and you know, part of the lumber issue is trade and what's going on with Canada. Part of the lumber issue is demand. We had a board meeting last week, and we were talking about some of these issues. And on one of the commercial contractors said they don't see the supply chain slowing their industry down as much as they do in the residential side. But on both sides, what's hampering them is the inability to get people, tradespeople out to work. So, you know, it's impacting all parts of the economy. And it's, you know, the things we're seeing is just, like I said, very unprecedented. We had a presentation from the Jackson Area Association of Realtors about the home industry right now and residential sales. And they were sharing with us that under house prices or houses that sell under $500,000, the majority of them right now are cash deals, that they're not even having to go through the appraisal process. So, you know, where's all this money coming from?
It's crazy.
It is crazy. And I know, you know, cash deposits, a lot of bankers are saying their cash deposits are up. One realtor suggested that maybe people are taking money out of their 401ks to purchase houses now. But, you know, when you're talking 50% of the home sales under $500,000, if you can even find a home, are going for cash, that's, you know, and that's not a bubble. That's not a residential bubble like we experienced in 2008, 2009, because they're cash sales. So there's not even a mortgage hanging out behind those sales.
Yeah, and there's a fight for every house that's out there.
Yeah, absolutely. And some of the ways the offers are being made with automatic escalation clauses so that you don't lose a house, or guaranteeing a price up to above an appraisal to a certain amount, is just things people haven't seen before. And, you know, that I asked the realtors, well, so how do we solve that problem? And their answer is, one way is we build our way out of it by building new homes, but you can't build new homes if you can't afford to buy the materials or even get the materials. I had one contractor tell me he was waiting on he was doing a house project for a person. He waited on over 6 months for a garage door installed on the house. And, you know, so the whole supply chain has gone wacky because of the COVID shutdown.
Yeah, we had a crazy one today where a couple models of used cars actually cost more now than when they were new.
Yeah. And you know, that, again, that supply chain thing, because of the chip shortage and the, you know, the scale back in the building of new automobiles has caused the price of used ones to skyrocket. And like I said, I've been doing this a long time, and I have never seen anything like this. And if you, like you said, you asked me to predict what's going to happen, I don't know. People think that, you know, the next 6 to 8 months, the supply chain, you know, will loosen up and things will improve. I hope that's true. The Board of Realtors people said they don't see the residential market changing drastically for the next 18 to 20 months, that they think we're still going to be in this shortage and you know, everybody rushing to get their offer in to purchase the next available house. They don't see that changing a lot. And I guess if their view is that we have to build more homes to get through that, that makes sense, because you got to have materials and you got to have lead time to build houses.
Yeah. And they had a limited supply before the government started giving away money.
Right. And the supply was limited, and the tradespeople were limited. So, you know, again, I had a contractor, and I do this a lot, right? I talk to a lot of these people. He told me that if he didn't pay $18 an hour for a general laborer, that person wasn't even going to show up to do the basics, you know, moving dirt and shoveling rock and do that stuff. He said that guy won't show up a second or third day.
Yeah.
Just keeping people on the job has been a challenge for employers.
Yeah, you're hearing quite a bit of that. What about skilled trades, Tim? Are we seeing more kids going into that and maybe getting away from college?
Well, I think we were seeing that trend before COVID. I don't know that we can honestly say we know if that trend will continue.
Mm-hmm.
Starting in the high school and doing the skilled trade thing kind of got a damper put on it when we went to virtual learning. So I know those classes have picked up again. I know JAMA classes have picked up again, so that they're full and they're going gangbusters trying to keep their classes going. So I think that's happening, but not every 18-year-old thinks this way, but why would you invest 2 or 3 years of your life to be in skilled trades to make $25 an hour if you can go be a pizza driver for $20 an hour? You mentioned it earlier, that whole wage, I kind of call it the rubber band, is stretching and stretching and stretching, and something has to give here. Wages have to go up, or, you're not going to be able to attract people for those skilled labor jobs. And there's plenty of them out there, and a lot of employers are paying premiums to basically steal people from other companies. So, that's not going to solve our problem either. We need more people into the system.
Yeah.
It's a long-term problem. It really is.
I guess it's really more people that are willing to work, because I've heard the same thing you have, that you'll get somebody on the job for 2 or 3 days and you don't see them again.
Yeah. And when they're there, they might be on their phone half the time. That's what the other contractor told me.
That's crazy.
So, there's a sea change going on. I'm not sure what it's going to look like at the end, but I think we had, when I was talking about our board discussion, I think there was general agreement that the world of work has changed. We don't exactly know what it's going to look like, or maybe the change will be that it constantly is changing and dynamic. We know a lot of our employers, especially, larger employers, are trying to figure out when or how many people they want come back to work permanently, how many are going to have flexible schedules, what's a virtual office going to look like. And I think that's something that's going to take us a year or so to work through as well. It's great to be able to work virtually, but I got to tell you, even with our own staff of 4 or 5 people, that problem solving and creativity isn't the same over a Zoom call as it is when you're all sitting in the room trying to figure out how do you address an issue. So that I think we haven't figured out yet as a big picture workforce issue, but I don't think the world's going to look the same as far as office work goes as it did 18 months ago.
Hey Tim, before you take off, a quick update on the Jackson Technology Park North. What's going on there?
Sure. We had a listening group last week where we invited the public to come in and share any of their views, concerns, whatever. Jackson County Highway Department is going to take whatever they heard from there and kind of adjust our final plan. So we're, I'd say, 60 to 70% done with engineering. Anything that came up in there will adjust. That'll go to the EDA. Right now, what we're telling people is that we anticipate we'll be able to start to sell parcels in there in 2022. Mm-hmm. One of the challenges is that it moves slow, because when you're dealing with the EDA, they kind of have to look over your shoulder and approve everything you do. So it's kind of 2 steps for every one there generally would be if you weren't doing a government project like this. But that's worth it, because that $6 million gives us an industrial park that's paid for and we don't have any local debt. We're working through right now with a couple local companies the purchase agreement process, which the EDA has to look at as well. So we're hoping to have some kind of a formal groundbreaking coming up in the fall here, where we can get everybody together under a tent or in the field and call it officially underway. So we're excited. It's gone slower than we wanted to, but all the pieces are in place. Our partners with Blackman Township and Jackson County have been awesome, and we're in the weeds right now. We're doing the detailed stuff that you don't see until the dirt gets turned, but it's necessary ahead of time to make sure your project goes smoothly and on schedule.
Have you seen any business interest?
Yeah, we have. Actually, we have two local companies that have expressed interest and are looking at parcels. We are in the process of putting together a marketing plan so that we can push the information out broader than just Jackson County. That challenge will also be, though, if we get that interest, then we have to prove we have the bodies to fill a new manufacturing plant.
So, sure.
You know, back to that same argument is, where are the people going to come from? That's our next challenge.
Tim Rogers from the Enterprise Group. Always a pleasure, Tim. Thanks. Have a good weekend.
Thanks. Same to you, Greg.
Take care.